All right, the Lord is good.
I said the Lord is good.
We have a long portion to read this afternoon. Let's quickly get into it. The book of Matthew chapter 24. I think that's what we read. We read from 25 last time, but actually it's a long discourse that began in chapter 24. So let's start from there. The book of Matthew chapter 24, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are talking about the doctrine of the appointed time. It's very important. Let me say these things to us again so that we can remember them and connect what we said before to what we are going to say today. God has an agenda. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes, God has an agenda. He's not doing things haphazard. He doesn't just discover that something has happened and then he'll respond. No, he has an agenda. For example, the Lamb of God was said to have been slain before the foundation of the world. That is, before the Lord created the heavens and the earth. He already determined that the Lamb of God will be slain at a particular point in time. That means, therefore, that the sin of Adam did not come to God as a surprise. Along the line, I'll still teach about it. It's not possible in life never to make a mistake. It is not possible. If you did not make a mistake, somebody else made that mistake before you, and you learned from their mistakes. Mistakes are part of life. What God judges is refusal to repent. Are you getting what I'm saying? God did not reject Saul as king for refusing to destroy the Amalekites. He said, because you have rejected the voice of the Lord thy God, therefore he has also rejected you from being king. It was not rejecting the voice of God in that go and destroy the Amalekites. That was not what happened. It was when Samuel came and brought correction to him. And he rejected the correction. That was the voice of the Lord his God that he rejected that brought judgment into his life. You cannot in life not make a mistake. If you didn't make the mistake, somebody else made it before you. That's the way life is. I believe one of the problems, all right? You see, as part of God's agenda, he has to demonstrate that certain things are bad. We are cheating ourselves. Nigeria is backward, not because we don't have natural resources, not because we don't have intellectual resources. We have all of it. But an average person is wicked. An average person is selfish. I was thinking about it again today. You know, they said Nigerian police is corrupt. And I was reading, there was a poll they did. They said the most corrupt establishments in Nigeria, they put police as number one and NEPA as number two. That's PHCN. All right? And of course, somebody said, what about custom? Custom was number three. And then I said, don't be impressed. Police is not corrupt. NEPA is not corrupt. PHCN. Custom is not corrupt. You know what happens? Nigerians are corrupt. The congregation of any one of them is corruption. So if you call their name Nigerian police, you find corruption. The problem I have today is when you now have Nigerian pastors and you are still having corruption. That is where the problem is. What am I going to explain? So that the black man is keeping himself backward because of corruption is not an accident. The Lord knew that a certain generation of people will come that will keep themselves backward as corruption. But if they will take the blood of Jesus and apply it, are you getting my point? You will discover the victory over corruption. And he will have demonstrated to the whole earth, to the whole universe, that selfishness is bad. It hurts not only the people around, but the person who is selfish. Even Confucius, the Chinese philosopher, said it. The quickest way to go forward in life is to help other people go forward. Nigeria has a lot of money. I said, I'm itemizing, I'll soon do it. About 20 different ways by which we waste resources, that is, by which we keep ourselves in poverty. For example, not being disciplined at junctions is one of the ways we keep ourselves in poverty. Move, I won't move. You stay there. You cause about 200 people to wait for 10 minutes. Calculate the number of man hours being wasted. What am I trying to explain? God is not taking him by surprise, these things, all right? He has to demonstrate that they are wrong. He has an agenda. Are you getting my point? Now, because of that, he has set times and seasons that certain things must be accomplished. But this is one thing I want to understand. This is one thing God did not do. Hear me? This is one thing he did not do. He didn't put anybody's name on anything. Judas' name was not put on betrayer. Are you getting my point? But the office of the betrayer was prepared. Are you getting what I'm saying? The office of the betrayer was prepared. God had a plan for the life of the man Judas, son of Iscariot. He did. And the plan was for good and not of evil, to give him a future and a hope. That was the plan. Except that Satan also writes plans. He does. And whichever one you walk in is determined by the choices you made in life. As you make your choices, all right, you find yourself qualified for a place or disqualified for another. That's just the way life is. That's what we're trying to explain. I'm not going to that in details now. So when we're talking about the doctrine of the appointed time, I said there are two sides to it. There is a time that God decided, listen, I will let communism blossom, then I will judge it. Everything that rises against the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ, a time has been set for his judgment. Listen to me, let me let you know it again. There is no religion by any name that can outlast Christianity. It's not possible. Because in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness can never overcome it. It's not possible. Anybody who has sense, I like to quote that's Archbishop Desmond Tutu those days. He said that, he told the apartheid people, and this is the doctrine. He said, listen, he told the white rulers, he told them, he said, you must understand that we are dealing with what God is doing. Get what I'm saying? That is, no matter how hard you fight it, apartheid is coming down. That the season for discriminating against the black man passed long ago. You can fight it all you want. Apartheid is coming down. What you just need to do is to line up with what God is doing. Miles Monroe said, listen, you have to learn to cooperate with seasons. If it's winter and you refuse to wear a thick jacket, you freeze to death. Do you get what I'm saying? Yes, you freeze to death. God is not angry with you. You just don't recognize times and seasons. So Desmond Tutu told them. I read it, the thing where he wrote it. That he told these people. That listen, guys, it's not about, oh, please, this is one thing we don't know how to judge things in life. We start writing stories about African National Congress. How they fought for apartheid. Hear ye the word of the Lord. If they did not raise a finger to fight, apartheid would have come down the time it did. If anything, they delayed its coming down. These are truths that you can't tell people because they don't understand the mind of God. One of the greatest problems an American black person has, all right, is that he believes that the white people don't want him to succeed. Let me tell you the truth, it is a lie. And I'll prove it to you. Over half of America voted Barack Obama into office. Then who does not want you to succeed? After all, the black people constitute just about 10% of the population of that nation. Women are half. They have not complained that we have not been made president. I don't know where I get my point. It's a grasshopper mentality. We are like grasshoppers before them. And we too, we have assessed it. They are correct. I thought about it. An average... Now, listen to what I'm saying. I am not saying there was not a time that the white man did not think the black man was inferior. And as a matter of fact, the black man was inferior. And I'm a black man, I can tell you that. It's a spiritual reason. But when the light began to shine even inside the blackness of his skin, because the light shines in darkness, the darkness in the heart of the white man could not overcome it. Listen. When Barack Obama won that American presidency, I explained something then to people. I rejoiced, not because I knew the man. I rejoiced, not because I was planning to emigrate to America. I rejoiced because, go and listen to my messages that I recorded here in 2003. You will see I've been saying these things before then, about the fact that the time to favor the black man has come. Not, listen, it's divine. It was orchestrated by divine wisdom. God planned it ahead of time. Do you get my point? So when the man became president, it was a sign to me personally that the things we were saying, they are true. But I'm coming to something here. You see, I was thinking about it earlier today. I said any black man in America that still says the reason why he can't progress because the white people don't like him has missed God's appointed time. He has. God brought that man as president just to give everybody a sign. That listen, if anybody doesn't like you now, it's because you are not worthy of what you are looking for. Are you getting what I'm saying? that it will not happen, that they will refuse to employ you because you are black. They will refuse because you are stupid. If you get there and you are demanding, yes, equal rights, equal rights. How can an idiot demand equal rights with wise men? Before you go there and demand, sharpen your brain. Are you getting my point? Because the time to favor you has come. That's what I'm trying to explain. But my emphasis is that God orchestrated it long ago. Long ago, I planned it. It is not any civil rights movement. Let me explain something to you. When the Spirit of God wants to do things on the earth, people suddenly start noticing it and their spirit starts cooperating. Are you getting my point? And that's what you see as activism. Let nobody give the credit to ANC. African National Congress did not deliver South Africa from apartheid. They did not. It was God's time and God's season. Are you getting my point? Now, but what we are discussing specifically, all right, is that when the season comes, where are you? Because in your life also, there are times, there are seasons. There are things that must happen before another time and before another thing, all right? And then I said something to you before, just like you're going to university, there's a course you want to come up with a particular degree. There are a set of courses that you must take. They say minimum 4 years, maximum 8 years. That is, at the end of 8 years, the appointed time will have elapsed. And last time I explained something, that people can miss the appointed time. And it's frightening. It's frightening. But it appears to me that that's one of the worst things you can do for yourself in life. You know why? Because, let me say it like this, so that you know I'm telling the truth. Because there is a time that people seek for a place with repentance, with tears, and they can't find it. Esau, when the time to take the inheritance came, he discovered the mistake he made before, and he tried to rectify it. Except that the time for rectifying it had passed. Let me tell you something. Each generation has its time. Each generation does what? I've heard people preach before, and me too, I used to think like that. They say, what's wrong with you young people these days? At the age of 30, Gowon was the president. At the age of 20-something, Wole Soyinka wrote a particular play. At the age of 20-something, Clark did this one. They start quoting something. I say, have you noticed something? Everybody you quoted was 20-something, 30. It wasn't their struggle. It was a season in which God brought people out, and they were all in that age bracket. It was not their inherent abilities. It wasn't. You can't tell me that Daniel Amokachi played better than Michel Godegbami or Christian Chukwu or those men of those days. No! It's just that in their time, God didn't pump money into Nigerian football. Nigerian footballers were not out there making millions of dollars. I mean, Christy Essien Igbokwe was there on TV doing what was she playing again? Jegede Sukoya's wife or some one of those things, if you remember. Did she make any money from it? No. You have a lot of half-educated girls walking up and down now, earning $2 million per movie. In Nigeria, it's season. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm bringing an issue. Each generation has a season. This is the same I want to make. If you miss the time of your generation, I don't believe there is a place for repentance. God is not going to remove you from your generation and throw you to the next generation. He's long-suffering. He waits. He gives time. But, once the bridegroom shows up, go and read your Bible, they always close the door. Read your scriptures well. Once the bridegroom shows up, they shut the door. Boom! The door is closed. If you want to be a businessman, you are not going to wait. Are you getting my point? Till all your friends are 50, they've made money, they want to start investing. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. You'll see as we go on, you will discover that one of the greatest reasons people miss the appointed time is because what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? That That's one of the greatest reasons people miss the appointed time. And listen, when for each generation, the time passes. You know, we read the other day, I think it was on Tuesday, when we're studying 1 Samuel. God blessed the people as much as he could, even though he never wanted them to go through the way that they went through, in asking for Saul and rejecting the principle of repentance for the solving of their problems. But God still blessed them. I said, don't follow testimonies. There are a lot of people that you look at, and it's very common in Nigeria. I know it. It's one of those causes, one of the effects of the curse of Noah. All right? Cause the, you know, it caused Ham, you know, caused the Cush, caused the Mizraim, caused the Put, caused the Canaan, all of them. One of the causes it placed upon them that they didn't have the ability to enlarge their minds. What am I saying? A lot of people that we celebrate is because they came out of poverty. They are still poor. They are still poor. They are still poor. But they came out of the depths of poverty. Then everybody began to celebrate them. And they relaxed there. They are not able to expand their minds. So what happens is sometimes people who have missed the will of God, they are scoring 10% according to the divine agenda. But that 10% is greater than most people around them have ever seen. You know, the other day, some people sent a message. I think they called Yinka and then they sent me a message that they are giving me an award. I said, Yinka, tell them I'm not receiving any award. For what? Before you do anything, they start celebrating. You should know they are begging you to please fail. I ask them, what have I done that you are giving me an award for? Sir, you have impacted the life of young people. Let them succeed. That's the award. Yes. Now that they have heard me and they are dancing. Those who heard the word, they rejoiced. Yet they did not have any deepness of earth. And when the tongues came, choked it. So let's not rejoice yet. Sir, you have preached over 1,000 sermons. I'm supposed to preach 100,000. Why are you celebrating me at 1%? Don't start looking for unknown. You know, people say, you know, Nigerians, they crazy. Sir, professor, doctor, chief, apostle, barrister, thank you. One line. And people, you know, there's one man I know. Every time he talk to him, he starts singing his own songs. Somebody said, why does he do it? I said, nobody is singing it. Because he didn't bless anybody, yet he's conceited that he's a great man. If I mention his name, some of you will know him. Every time I meet the man, I feel sorry for him. He's about 80 years old. He sings his own songs all the time. Because nobody is singing it. He's conceited. He thinks he's a great man. What I'm trying to say, that's one of the effects of the curse of Noah. People can't expand their minds. They make 2 million, they are happy. Now, I'm trying to emphasize something here. So don't let some temporary small success derail you. All right? A lot of people have missed the time of their generation. And there is something God wants to do in each generation. Let me not waste all my time now, all right? I'll spend all my time on this. But go and read this man's book. I recommended it a number of times. Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. You will see that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. Time and chance happens to men. And listen, in your generation, there's what God wants to do. Are you getting my point? What is it actually? You don't know it until he does it. I was on TV today. Sorry, I was watching TV today, Christian TV. And one man was teaching. I was enjoying. I was standing watching him. After a while, he delved into an area. I walked away. Now, what is going to happen right now is that Iraq is going to be rebuilt. They will agree with Iran. They will invade Israel. Your point is to tell you. Excuse me. You don't know. Nobody knows. They don't know. And it's people gather eschatology. I've seen, I love Americans. They can entertain. Hollywood is not only in Hollywood, it's in church. They sit down there. This Antichrist was Russia. You know what I'm saying? And Russia is going to join with China and invade this and that. After a long time, communism dissolved. Then they moved to Iraq. Then Americans themselves went and killed Saddam. Then they moved to Iran. They have been chasing the Antichrist up and down. You don't know where he's coming from. Forget it. That it might be fulfilled, that which was written. That's the way it is. After it has been fulfilled, we'll discover it has been fulfilled. Trying to say, hey, Jesus said, when they tell you, come, go here. He said, don't follow them. They don't know what they are saying. And then he said that you really can't tell for sure what God wants to do in each generation. But you must be prepared for whatever it is he wants to do. In that Luke chapter 19, we saw that the king went out and gave money to his servants. Occupy, do business with this until I come back. He never told them he was going to make them rulers over cities. The fact that they had no idea is confirmed by the fact that one man said that I knew the kind of man you were, you know, so I didn't want to lose your money. I hid it. Look at your money. He didn't know that they were judging his ability to handle resources. What God is doing in this generation, you don't know for sure, but you must be ready. I said what? You must be ready. And that's what we are preaching. Last time I said people can miss the appointed time, and we began to see the reasons why. Now let's continue today, reading from the book of Matthew chapter 24. In God's great scheme of events, you have a part to play. And you must be ready. That's what we are saying. Now I'm going to read a very long portion. So as I often do, so as to save time, I jump here and there. So let me start from verse 36. Just follow me in your Bible very closely. You will see how I'm jumping a bit here and there. I'll let you know. I just want to start from verse 36. Actually, start from verse 32. Now learn the parable from the fig tree and all of that. In the verse 6, it said, but of that day and hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. But there is a day and an hour. Is that not true? Yeah, there is. He said, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. And as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. He says, so shall the coming, I'm applying it now, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So shall the appointed time of God be. People will not know until it comes upon them. He said, then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, verse 42, please notice this. He said, for this reason, be on the alert. For you do not know which day the appointed time of God is. I'm applying it. But be sure of this. That if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he was using that to illustrate how this thing happened suddenly, and nobody really knows when, ahead of time. He said he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. Please, a principle is developing here. Please, look up for a moment. I've said it to us again and again, and I will not stop saying it. What I want to say, you know it already, but just that you don't know which of those things I'm obsessed with. I'm about to say. Notice here, he said, if the lord of the house had known when the thieves were planning to show, he would not have allowed it. Do you get my point? So, what does he do? The lord of the house, this is what he does. He therefore makes ready all the time. He does not prepare for the coming of the thief by calculating the time the thief might come. For example, most countries in the world today, let's take the most prominent one we know, United States of America, or let's take Nigeria as an example. No shot has been fired at a Nigerian president since how many years? American president, the same thing. Nobody's firing shots at them. But the security forces don't slacken for half a second because of that. They won't say, well, information reaching us shows that Barack Obama is going to be attacked sometime next week. So next week, let us start defending him. That's the way the man will get killed fast. What am I saying? In the same manner, it is not possible for Christians to target their spiritual activities at a particular thing that they think is about to happen. I don't know what I heard I say. You can't. That is why, let me say it one more time. You cannot say, I want to give money towards this thing. That is, I want to buy a car. So let me sow a seed towards the buying of my car. The only seed you need to sow towards the buying of your car is to the bank. Your own equity contribution towards the purchase of the car. I'm telling you the truth. Any other one is a joke. I hear it all the time, and I will continue to warn you that you are wasting your time. You don't know the time, do you? You have no idea. Therefore, sow your seed in the morning. And at night, don't stop sowing your seed. That's what Solomon explained to us. So what do Christians do? We sow seeds all the time. We are continual givers. We don't, look, that's the concept Jesus was explaining here. Believers, stop trying to say, when this is about to happen, we'll now get ready. You'll see something as we go on. I want to develop that today. My main message today, I think, let me just title my message for you today. I called it the lamb, the oil and the lamb, because we're going to continue into the story of the virgins. You will understand what makes some people foolish. And let me quickly jump ahead of myself and explain it now. The foolish virgins were those who went to look for faith when they needed it. The foolish virgins were the ones that prayed only when calamity was upon them. The foolish ones were the ones that sought seeds to come out of financial difficulty. Let me say it one more time. It is foolishness for Christians to want to sow a seed so that their financial difficulty will be broken. It's not true. It does not work. Listen to me, saints of God. The wise virgins sowed their seed when they did not have financial difficulty. They prayed their prayer when there was no calamity. They looked for faith when they did not acutely need it. You will see as we go on that the oil, go and read Zechariah chapter 4. You will see they saw two olive trees beside the lampstand. And they said, my Lord, what are those ones? He said, you don't know. He said, these are the anointed ones that stand before the Lord. And I checked it. I searched it out. Amplified put a qualification. I explained who they were. I said, no, sir, that's not what he was saying. He said, these are the sons of oil. These are the prophets. Because you see, go and read Ezra chapter 6. They succeeded, the elders of Israel succeeded in rebuilding because of the prophesying of Zechariah and the other man. I mean, Haggai and Zechariah. That is, the continual infilling of the word of God from the mouth of the prophet gave them the strength to succeed. Oil, oil, therefore, is the word that God is pouring into your life. You must grab it whether you think you need it or not. I've heard a lot of foolishness. People telling me that what you are preaching now, I don't need it now. You are mad. I talked to a young woman once that you come there for Bible study and says, sir, what you are preaching, I don't need it. That's why you will fail in life. That's foolishness of the virgins. You want to learn about marriage when you are looking for a wife or a husband. You want to learn about prosperity when you have children and you have to pay school fees. That is the foolishness of the virgins. Because you don't know when calamity is going to come upon you. You have no idea. It's going to come like a thief in the night. Foolishness are those who look for things when they think they need it. That's what foolishness is in Christianity. You see it? I see it a lot of times. People want to be pastors. They start reading a book on pastoring. You just know that one failed. That is, the first 10 years of ministry is going to be in trouble. The first 10 years of ministry, he will struggle and struggle and struggle. Why? Doors are being shut against him. The master showed up when he was not prepared. Listen, the master was beginning to explain this to us here. Nobody starts preparing for the thief when the thief is about to show up. He prepares whether the thief comes or he doesn't come. Thieves have never broken into my house. But I always lock my door. Are you getting my point? Listen, there are times maybe I forget to lock my car. Somebody said that was risky. I said the thief did not know the car would be open. I don't know what I heard I said. He doesn't know the car that's open. What I'm trying to say is this. We all lock our cars. I mean, I remember this will make you laugh. Where I used to live in Luz then. There were these thieves that used to go from room to room. They know you are inside sleeping. They sneak in, you are asleep. they clear your room while you are sleeping. Because it was such a